2. Genesis chapter 2. There's a unique thing about this job for me that I didn't ever have as a pastor. As a pastor, as I was working on passages of Scripture, I had a time frame to work on it because I had to get it set for that moment. Usually it was a couple months ahead because I always worked about, I always had a yearly preaching calendar, so I was always working ahead, but a couple of months ahead was pretty much where I was always aiming. And so I would have zero it down to really 1 week where I really kind of tried to work on a passage. But in this job, I can work on a passage for 2 or 3 years and preach it all over the place. And every time I preach it, I discover something new. And there's a verse that about 2 years ago, matter of fact, 2 years ago this last March, just kind of bamboozled me. You know what that word means? Bamboozled. Are you familiar with bamboozled? It's kind of like I don't know what it's kind of like. Created a problem for me, and it created a problem for me because our newest grandson was born 2 years ago last March, and something I was reading through the book of Genesis, and I read this book, this verse. I've read it hundreds of times. It's in chapter 2. I'm going to read it to you in a moment, but it grabbed me in a way like it had never grabbed me before. I hope that happens to you. I hope as you're reading Scripture periodically, you come across something in Scripture that grabs you, and you can't get away from it. You just keep going back to it because you're trying to figure out what is it that God is trying to say to me through this passage. And so I'm going to do something with you this morning that I've been doing with several of our congregations. I'm going to do what a friend of mine, Ken Mills, says. I'm going to struggle with you together today on this verse. And if I discover anything new about it today, I might preach it again next week somewhere. Who knows? Everybody say, good luck for them. That's right. God bless those people. So here it is, chapter 2, beginning with verse 4. This is the account of the heavens and the earth when they were created. And when the Lord God made the earth and the heavens, no shrub of the field had yet appeared on the earth. No plant of the field had yet sprung up, for the Lord God had not sent rain on the earth. It kind of sounds like the last few weeks, right? No rain. But listen to what he did. And there was no man to work the ground, but streams came up from the earth and watered the whole surface of the ground. Whoa. That's not the verse. We're going to get to the verse. Hang on. But I'm just like, whoa. Say that with me, would you? Whoa. Good. All right. So we'll make sure you're awake. All right. Good. The Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground. Here it is. This is the verse that just, I've read it hundreds of times, but it just, all of a sudden it grabbed me. And breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. Thanks be to God for this word. Our grandson was, our third grandson was born 2 years ago in March, and Kayla was in, we're not recording, right? We are recording? Okay. My daughter and her husband live on the other side of the world in a closed country, and she was there for the birth of this little guy. And so he was born, and when she came home, I said to her, this profound thought, you know, the first thing that baby did when he was born was he sucked air. She was like, okay. Has it ever dawned on you that the day he was born, the first thing he will do, the very first thing he will ever do outside of his mother's womb, is he will take a breath. Everybody take a breath. And the last thing he will ever do in this world, the last thing he will do, is he will exhale a breath. I could tell she wasn't impressed. When you get to know your spouse well enough, you know, it didn't ring a bell. Isn't that right, ladies? Amen? Okay. That one didn't go very well. Okay. And I remember thinking, What is it about this breath thing? You really don't realize how desperately you need it till you can't get it. I mean, just go ahead and for the next 30 seconds to 45, maybe a minute, hold your breath and see what happens to your body. It starts sending you messages, doesn't it? Like, help, breath, breathe, do something. Now, the writers, Old Testament scholars tell us that, and you do this whatever you want. I'm just unpacking this as what I've been told. That chapter 1 of Genesis and chapter 2 is not the next event. Chapter 2 happened in chapter 1. It's just another way of talking about chapter 2, because in chapter 1 there's no creation of man. Everybody with me? Everybody still good? Okay. So it doesn't happen in chapter 1, it happens in chapter 2. And in chapter 1, there's this most amazing thing. God says, okay, there needs to be expanse, and so God speaks expanse into existence. He speaks light into existence. He speaks darkness, sun and night and stars, and he speaks the waters to team up. He speaks an expanse to separate the waters. He speaks all these things. Everything is created by voice or by thought or by something that God does. But nothing physical is involved. Isn't that interesting? He just says, let there be, and there was, and it was good. Until he gets to man. And it says, listen to this. It says, sorry, I don't want you to have a crick in your neck at the end of the day. And it says that he takes the dust of the earth. The only thing that God touches in creation. And he takes the dust of the earth. And out of the dust of the earth, he forms a man. Could be, gentlemen, that's why when your wife's really angry at you, she may say to her mother or her girlfriend or her daughter, men are just dirt. That might be where that expression comes from. I don't know. But it certainly would be true. So he takes this little bit of dust, he creates this thing called man, and then he does the most unique thing in the world to him. He doesn't do this with any of the animals, he doesn't do this with anything else. He breathes into him the very breath of life, and man becomes a living being. Oh, my word. How did I miss this all these years? The word breath, that word, the Hebrew word there is ruach. It's the same word that appears in Ezekiel chapter 37 when it says, can these dry bones live again? You prophesy breath into the bones. You ruach that breath into those bones and they will live. And the prophet prophesies and the bones take on, breath enters into the bones. If you read it, breath enters into the bones and they begin to come back to life again. It's the most fascinating thing. So when we talk about the fact that God is the giver of life, it all of a sudden it adds a whole new dimension to what that means. In the New Testament, it appears In the Greek word pneuma. It's the word, and I never discovered this until I started thinking about this verse. I've read this verse hundreds of times in John chapter 20 when it says, and Jesus said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. And what does it say he did? What did he do? Anybody know the verse? He did what on them? He blew on them. Isn't that weird? No, not really. He breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. It's like he breathed this pneuma, this life. It's the same word that you find in Acts chapter 2 when the Holy Spirit descends like a mighty rushing wind. Pneuma. This air thing, breath thing, this wind thing, it's pretty fascinating, I think. It is for me. And the more I think about it, the more I my mind goes another journey. So I just keep preaching because I come up with a new idea thinking, I need to tell this. When I get there, I'll let you know. So here's the thing that I had to sort through. So this breath thing, this God breathes into us. So my newest grandson Gabe is born, and Gabe comes out and he goes and lets us know he's here. He breathes. Every breath is a gift. Wow. It's a gift from God. So you know, you've heard the story. So between the year you were born and the year you die, there's a dash. What are you going to do with the dash? I guess my statement is, from the first breath you take to the last breath you take, what are you going to breathe? That's a good question. See, and here's where it began to take me. I haven't got to the new part yet. I'll tell you when I get to the new part. Hang on, don't go to sleep. I began to think that if breathing, and Job, good grief, and Job simply, this is what Job says. Job, his friend Elihu, says, if it were his intentions, God, if it were God's intention, and he withdrew his spirit and breath, all humanity would perish together, and mankind would return to dust. Just go back to being what we were before we were. Dirt. Now, ladies, you get the upside. You weren't created from dirt. You were created from a rib. All the ladies say, woohoo! That's why you smell nicer and you're prettier, and that's why you look better than we do, because you were created differently than we were created. Man, that was your moment to say amen, but you missed it. So, it's not, well, yeah, too late. Too late. It's just too late. So the thing I began to ask myself was this. It's not God breathing. It's not the fact that God breathed into me. Is God breathing into me now? That's the question I began to ponder. It's not did he breathe into me once, or did he breathe into me every once in a while. It's is he at work in my life? In other words, the question I guess I'm asking is, if he's at work in my life, then is he breathing into me? And if he's breathing into me, what am I doing with that breath? This question. It's a question the psalmist keeps saying to us, let everything that hath breath do what? Hello? This breath thing's messing me up. And also, I began to think that if it's the breath of God that breathes into me, that helps me in this journey, that keeps me. If I'm breathing God, if God's breathing in me, if God's at work in me, then His breath is living in me. Then that has to be the transforming piece of my life. I can't keep breathing old air. I have to find new air. Matter of fact, again, you take, go ahead, take a breath, let it out. The next breath you take will not be the same one you just took. It will be a different breath. I've been to the hospital to see hundreds of people through the years, my 32 years of pastoring. They're on oxygen, and they're pumping air into them. It may be the only time in their life that their breath doesn't come from God, it comes from a machine. That's just my thought. That's a thought. It's just a thought. I'm not saying that's true or not. That's just a thought. You You can take that and deposit it or throw it away. You can do whatever you want with it. See, if God is breathing into me, the question then is, first of all, is he breathing into me? Or am I breathing on my own? Good question. Is the breath of God breathing into me, or am I breathing on my own? And how I dealt with this was simply I had to ask myself the question, who's in charge of my life? Am I in charge? Is God in charge? It determines who breathes into my life. If I'm in charge, then I determine how things are supposed to look. I determine how things are supposed to feel. I determine how things are supposed to react and respond. But if God is breathing into me, then it is his breath, not mine. And I have to live like this. I can't live like this. I have to live like this. So I had to think about a way to say this, because I knew that if I said it incorrectly, it would come out incorrectly, and it just doesn't sound I couldn't say if we breathe in, how do we breathe in God? I couldn't ask the question, how do we exhale God? That sounds almost totally transparent. The wrong thing, doesn't it? Exhale. But maybe how, if we're breathing in God, then how do we let God's breath out? Great question, isn't it? If he's breathing into you, how does he breathe out of you? Or me? That's, see, Ed, it didn't take me long to realize this is a holiness passage. This isn't, is God at work in you? This is God in charge of you? Because I have to be honest with you and tell you that I love breathing him in, but I sure like breathing me out. Where would you like to go for lunch today, dear? Oh, I don't care. Where do you want to go? Oh, I don't care. Where do you want to go? Oh, let's go to the big boy. And I'm thinking, I don't want to go to the big boy. Why would I want to go? Why would I want to go to the big boy? Wasn't that a great worship service we just had? Can I breathe God in and treat her with disrespect? No, not if I'm breathing him out. This messed my life up. This piece really, I couldn't go to the bank the same way anymore. I had to quit going to the drive-up window. I had to go in. And the reason I had to go in is so that I could breathe God into the life of people. Kind of hard to do that to a box. Deposit, please. But if I go into the bank, I can say to Jared, who works one window, and Nola, who works the other window, hey guys, how are you doing today? Or we've built a relationship with a lady at the post office named Zona. And Kayla was at the post office the other day, and so she's telling me about this conversation she had with Zona. We're just trying to breathe God into our world. Zona probably sees a couple hundred people a day at her window. And when she always sees me with a box, she knows it's going overseas. And she could go, oh man, here comes that box. And it's going to take me a long time to put everything in. And all the stuff, and you got to record everything that's in it, and it's all got to match. You know what Zona does when she sees me come? She goes, hey, are we going overseas today? Ha, this is what I get paid to do. And I think, I haven't said to Zona yet, but I want to say, are you like one of those Jesus people or something? Because you sure are nice. Or are you just nice? I don't know. But what Zona, I watch Zona all the time. I get in line, watch, and I watch her just breathe on people. She's kind. She's kind. She breathes well. Wow. I'm getting to the point, to the new point. So at camp meeting this year, I'm having this conversation with Dr. Ian Fitzpatrick. He's telling me, what are you discovering? And I said I've been working on this for a couple of years, and I'm still just in my head. So I'm telling this whole story, and he says to me, this is the new piece. I haven't said to anybody yet. You're the first that gets to hear this. You only can exhale what you inhale. Stop the presses. That's an old expression. For those of you who are really young, ask somebody old what that means. You can only exhale what you inhale. In other words, the old expression, you can't give away what you don't possess. Oh, wow. Are you kidding me, Ian Fitzpatrick? Thanks for messing up my world one more time. Are you telling me? Man, I have to be nice. Well, Ian said, if you're not nice, you got to wonder what's stored up inside, don't you? Oh, man. I didn't need to be preached at. I needed to be loved on. I can say that because I'm not your pastor. It's messed with me. This breathing thing. I'm just like... I don't know what to do with all this, and I'm just kind of running around. But one of the things that I finally come to the conclusion is that breathing should be natural. We all know that. Everybody goes, they ask, come on, tell us something we don't know. Then maybe I could say to you that maybe living out our life for God should be as natural as breathing air, if He's truly breathing into us. Time is it? How much time do I have left? 10 minutes. Do you get out? Oh, that's right. When the clock bangs, that's when I know I'm done. Right? It's not wound. It's not wound. Oh man, we're in trouble. Massive trouble. Someone says, "Quick, go out. Turn the clock." So maybe that's why. I love the verse, and there's a song we sing, and I don't even know the name of the song, but it just says, "From life's first breath till final death, God commands my destiny." Wow. And if my very existence is based on breath, my life's very simple. It's about breathing in and out the breath of God. And I have to ask myself, how well am I doing that? Here's the things I have discovered. I have discovered that breathing in God won't make me, there are some things it will make me incredibly better at and free to be and things to do, but there are some things it won't affect. It's not going to make me a better baseball player. Don't you wish it would? Somebody this week signed a shoe contract for $75 million, and I thought, oh, if I could just breathe like that. Nah, it's not going to make, yeah, it's not. Breathing, that's not going to make, no. Because, see, that's not about destiny. That's just about existence. Destiny. Because the song said, God commands my destiny. Commands. Doesn't approach my destiny, doesn't think about my destiny. He commands my destiny. Oh, my word. I got to the place where I began to think, what happens if judgment for me is simply God saying, tell me how well you breathed? Whoa. I don't know. I'm just still struggling with this whole idea. I guess the bottom line for me is just I have to ask myself every day, not every once in a while, not once a week, not once a month, but every day, I have to ask myself today, how well did I breathe God in and out? How well did I inhale and exhale the breath of God in my world, in my life? How well did that go today? Well, I gave them a piece of my mind and told them just to set them straight. Wow. Praise God. We're going to go out to lunch today somewhere, wherever Alyssa tells us we're going to go. So that's right. You're a smart man. And we will breathe on people. Tomorrow, when you go to work, if you're not retired, you go to work tomorrow. You will breathe on people. You go to school tomorrow. You will breathe on people. And you only breathe out that which you've been able to inhale. You know, when I think about that, it makes me think, oh, God, I need to get a lot closer to you than I am right now. I need to live guarded. Please give me wisdom. Now I understand why Solomon asked for wisdom. Give me wisdom so that when somebody does whatever it is they do, I'm smart enough to realize that maybe what they're doing is a reflection of something else and not really a reflection of them. Help me, please, to be your person in everything I do. So that as I inhale, exhale. And can I say something to you about breath that I've discovered? I'll never get that breath back. I'm here messing with my head. And I didn't mean to mess with your head. I hoped somehow today the Spirit messed with your heart. Because he sure messes with mine. Kayla and I, when we got this role about 6.5 years ago now, we realized, as a pastor, I came in contact with a lot of lost, unchurched people. And it didn't take me long to realize that I wasn't depressed, but I was just kind of down, and I usually have not traditionally, historically been that kind of a person, tried to figure it out. Then it dawned on me one day, I'm not around lost people. I'm just around Christians, actually church boards, churches, pastors. To be honest with you, it's not a lot of fun because they're already on the journey. I'm looking for somebody who's not on the journey. When we moved into the subdivision where we lived 15 and a half years ago, we walked every day. We had a little dog that needed to be walked, and it was good for me, good for us. And so she got walked a lot, and it's a mile. And so we discovered very quickly that in that mile, that we were the only couple in that entire subdivision who attended our church, and our church was only 7 miles away. I thought, this is really weird. It's just me. But I don't think there wasn't anybody else in that subdivision who even attended our church. I thought that was odd. It was a large church. You'd think there'd be somebody in that church that did. And so by the time we got to be into this role, one day I walked around and started counting, and I counted 14 homes of people, 14 homes of people who attended our church. And the thing that dawned on me the most is I never invited one of them. How good is that? I called it, the little dog we had was named Yoshi. I called it Yoshi evangelism. I'd make sure I'd walk in the early evenings, because in the early evenings, there's a lot of young families, because to get into our subdivision, there's an elementary school on one side of the entrance, and there's a middle school down from the other entrance. So almost everybody, when we moved in, we went from being the youngest couple on our street in Florida to being the oldest couple on our street in Michigan. You do the math. It doesn't take long. We just begin to walk with Yoshi, and people would come out. They'd be in their yard. Hey, and they did the weirdest thing. They did the strangest thing. They waved and spoke. I'd say, hey. They'd say, hey, how you doing? We're doing great. That's great. Great to meet, get to talk. And then Bob and Kay, who lived around the corner, Bob knew that I walked early in the morning. He said, can I walk with you? So we began to walk, and we just kind of began to do these things. And it dawned on me, I just began to discover. Periodically, I'd look out, and I'd say, there was Scott and Lisa Kerr. Scott and Lisa Kerr. We're sitting right here on a Sunday morning. They're my neighbors. They live next door to me. And I've never said a thing to them. And they looked up at me, and they said, do you go to church here? I said, I do. Oh, great. And then I got up to preach, and they were both like. I don't know how to explain all that to you. I really don't. All I know is that if you and I are breathing correctly, the presence and the Spirit of God does a mighty work. Amen. That I do know. Okay, turn the person next to you and say, he needs to land the plane. I think he's done. Just tell him, he needs to land the plane. I think he's done. Ed, you know what that means. Pastor knows what that means. He needs to land the plane. I think he's done. I've been to too many churches where there are three or four places where they could have landed the plane and didn't. And I wanted to stand and say, land the plane! So we're going to land the plane, because I'm done. Everybody say, yay, God. Because it's 12. So here's the question. Is God breathing in you? It's a really simple question, isn't it? Or are you breathing on your own? And if he's breathing in you, how well do you exhale what he's doing in you? Oh man, a whole bunch more I could say, but I'm done. Lord, thank you. To discover today that this is not about me. This is about you. And it's not about what I think, it's about what you think. It's not about what I want, it's about what you want. It's you, God. This breathing thing. And Elihu reminded Job, if God wanted to, he could just take his breath, spirit and breath away, and every one of us would stop living and we'd return back to the dust in the earth. But some reason, some crazy reason, God, you've chosen to love us and to use us and to speak into us and to breathe on us. And I'm guessing that the majority of us in this room, maybe all of us in this room, have had an encounter with the living Christ, and you have saved us. Thanks be to God. But I don't want to take that for granted, because there may be one, there may be someone this morning whose breath they breathe is on their own. So I pray that you would speak into them right now. Or that person in this room today who's struggling because there's a loved one that they so desperately want to see you do a work in, and would you help us today to just relax and breathe and trust you with that situation or a situation that seems to be so far out of our control and we don't know what to do. Could we relax and breathe and let the presence of God surround us and become the healer in the midst of the storm? And could we just trust you today that the very giver of life is interested in how we breathe, and we can say thank you, thank you. And I just want to pray a quick prayer for us before I dismiss us. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Anyone who would say, I could use a fresh breath of God in my life, just put your hand up, put your hand down. You don't have to hold it up. I'm not going to do anything. Thank you. Thank you. God bless you. Anybody else would just say, I could use fresh breath. Yeah, God. God bless you. God bless you. Thank you. Thanks, my friend. Thank you. Thanks for honesty and transparency. God, you know who we are today, and you know our lives, and you know how we walk and who we are. Would you blow on us a fresh breath of air today that would forever change how we breathe, so that we give away you, not us, you. For whatever reason, these half a dozen raise their hands, would you right now breathe into them a fresh breath of air? Your ruach, that wind, that pneuma, that spirit that blows, would you blow as your son Jesus blew on the disciples? Would you blow on those people right now? Just may they feel a rushing wind that they don't know how to explain, that almost, that almost takes their breath away and replaces it with your breath. Love them, would you? And encourage their hearts. And we'll all say thanks be to God. Thank you for this opportunity to be together today. And thank you for your word. Thank you for this great church and this people. Thank you for the connection and the commitment into this community. Help them, God. Help them to breathe well into this community, into these homes, into the people they connect with. Help them to breathe well. And for who you are, for how much you love us, and for the way you breathe into us, we give you thanks. And all the people said, amen. God bless you. Just take a moment, stand, turn to the person next to you and say, that wasn't that bad. Go in peace. Have a great day. God bless you.